You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
This is what Jesus was trying to teach when he says, if you think your brother has aught against you, put the vaccination in before the calamity comes. Go over to them and talk. Go over to them and say, have I offended you? The way you look at me, I'm not sure that if I have not offended you. Why? Because we are one body and no one wants the body to be in pain. Amen. Are you with me? All right, just look at the person next to you. Don't say anything, just look. And then look back. All right. God bless you. Now watch this. Watch this, because this is very good. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. He says, verse 14, for the body is not one member, but it is many. So none of us can stand alone, no matter how great we think we are. He says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? It's rhetorical, but we know the answer. My eye can say, I'm not the ear, so I'm not part of the body, but my eye is part of my body. What part are you in the body of Christ? Now, we have not been taught to think along these lines. And the reason is because of our view of church. It is the crystallization of who we are individually. We use phrases such as, I'm going to get mine. I came to get my blessing on. I still feel the presence of the Lord. Listen, and I'm going to get my blessings right now. Now, you're sitting there with a sore foot, right? You're in your house, you have a sore foot. And I don't know why, but when your feet hurt, your whole body hurts. There are two parts of your body that when they hurt, everything hurts, your head and your feet. When you got a headache, you just say, listen, I ain't going nowhere. And your feet are going, what's that got to do with us? And your head is throbbing. And, oh, my God, you lay down, you turn off the lights. I can never understand certain actions. When you get like a real bad headache, you turn off the light. What does light have to do with your head? But I know you're going to say, oh, it's my eyes. But that doesn't help me. Then you ever notice this? Men do it all the time. When they get lost, they turn off the radio. You ever notice that? They're on a road that they did not expect. So now the first thing they do is turn the radio off. The radio didn't get you lost. I can never understand those things. But I realize that it is our archaic, old way of trying to deal with issues because we have not been taught. We are still approaching satanic weapons with old theological mindsets. And so Paul says that the body is not one member. And then he says, if the whole body, verse 17, were an eye... Every time I read this, I think of that little eye in Monsters, Inc. If the whole body were just an eye, he said, then how could you hear? He said, and if the whole were hearing, then how could you smell? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Now I'm going to say something to you that is revelatory and very, very indicting. Most of us function in the wrong capacity because we want to be a part of the body that we have not been gifted to be. Hence, we cover it up with God calling me, thinking the mystery of God calling me will justify my misplacement. My eye can't hear a lick. Watch this. You ever walk into a dark room and your eyes, scientifically, your eyes, the pupil in your eye fully dilates. I mean, it gets as big as it can get. And the room is as black as tar. And your eye says, we can't go anymore. We are wide open. Right? And you still can't see. Right? Now, what's the next thing you do? No, you don't turn the light on. Because if you were smart, you would have turned it on before you went into the room. Why are you trying to turn it on after you get into the room? See, that's old thinking. Now you're in the room, right? And you know what we do. We start feeling, right? You start feeling, right? And you notice your whole body tenses. What is it anticipating? Stubbing your toe, hitting something else, but you don't even think to do something logical, like turn on a light. Now, every part of your body, the nerves are all on end. You're looking for the pins in the carpet. You're doing all this crazy stuff. What's happening? Other parts of your body have stepped up because this one can't work. Since the Bible says we're a body, and he uses us as the metaphor for the church, that means when one of us are in darkness, the rest of us ought to help that person until they get out of darkness. Hence, we have Galatians 6. You that are spiritual, restore that one. Why? We are a body. Now, look at the person next to you. Don't say anything. Just look at them and then look at the other person. Don't say a word. Now, Paul goes on here and he says, but now God has set, verse 18, the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleases him. You are where you are because it pleases God to put you there, which means, I'm trying to do more Presbyterian teaching. Listen, I've been watching these guys, you know, and they preach these great truths and don't even sweat. Y'all wear me out till my lungs collapse. And listen carefully. It says here, God puts members in the body as it pleases him. Good God Almighty. As it pleases him. That means wherever you are in the body of Christ, whatever your primary giftings are, he says they have been given by God based on his pleasure. In fact, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus goes one step further and says that God saved us because it pleased him to save us. Do you know the dynamic of that? God didn't save you to keep you from hell, so stop telling people that. God saved you because it pleased him. God was Woody. God was Andy, and we are Woody. As long as Andy was a child, he played with Woody and wrote his name on the bottom of Woody's shoe. Hence, we have Toy Story. Y'all don't watch Toy Story? You that sanctified that you haven't seen Toy Story? I bet you saw the Avengers. I wouldn't let them pay me to see the Avengers. But anyway, so we don't want to see ourselves as owned by God, which means God puts you exactly where he wants you. Now, I'm saying this to a different group of people. Those of you baby boomers, you remember playing with little G.I. Joes and little army men, right? So you would put your army men, you would place them exactly where you wanted to. And you'd put one up on the step and you would talk to your army men. This was long before schizophrenia was identified. You would place the arm and you said, now you sit right here and you shoot down on them. Pow, 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 pow. And then you take the ones down on the ground and make them die. They be laying down on the floor, their eyes rolling in their head. But you were in charge of the game. Well, when you understand the fact that you are a body, this body, what's in charge of this body? My brain. My brain. My body is not a democracy. My hands don't take a vote to see what they're going to do. My hands do what my brain tells it to do. Everything about me is connected to my head. And Paul says that Christ is the head of the body. That means he places us right where we ought to be, and we should be content in our placement. There should be no schism. There should be no jealousy. There should be no envy. You are exactly where God wants you to be. Oh, my. Listen. Woo! And if my brain tells my right hand, get up and wave, my left hand ain't over here pouting. My left hand says, I'm going to get a time. He's going to use me too. Glory to God. So as long as God is using somebody, you ought to be rejoicing, because that means the body is being influenced by the head. And you know that your day is coming, because every part of your body will be used during the course of the day, because your head will demand it. Hallelujah. Hmm. Getting upset because you aren't preaching. So what? You should cheer on those that are. Go ahead, tell it, say it. My day's coming. You see, if you sow a seed of participation, you will reap the harvest of involvement. You come to a funeral to bury a loved one and nobody shows up, and now you condemning everybody. Yeah, ain't nobody come here to this church talking about they love me. Nobody came. And then the Lord comes to you and says, excuse me. And you say, yes. He said, have you ever been to anybody else's funeral? Well, no, I ain't have time. Que sera, sera. You are reaping what you've sown. Why? Because we don't think in a body concept. We think me, me, me. In fact, we will even, this morning, the Lord said to me, I was getting something out of my car, and the Lord said to me, he said, listen, he said, now when you teach this message, he said, say this. I said, absolutely not. You get me in enough trouble. See, you sitting up there getting glory and honor, and you can kill whoever don't agree with you. I got to sit here and nurse them back to mental wholeness after they don't agree with me, and then I got to stand in front of them when you go to kill them because they came against your servant. Lord, don't kill them. Lord, they didn't understand. He said, my people have become callous. They use phrases such as, get over it. Now, as many times as you have the same headache, your body never tells you to get over it. Your hand will instinctively go up to the place of pain and rub it, even though it's been that way for 47 years. But we tell people, get over it. You need to just get over it. No, we're callous. We don't think about the body concept. Now, some of you are red blood cells. You are hemoglobin. You're the ones that carry nutrients and iron and vitamins throughout the body, and you keep us strong. You're usually the ones that aren't very noisy. You just kind of come in and let the essence of who you are just kind of rub off on everybody else, and people will say, you know, I feel pretty good when you come around. But when we are iron, when we are deficient and our hemoglobin is real low, see, for a man, it should be no less than about 12. And for a woman, it has to be higher because of certain physiological things you go through. And when it drops lower than that, you start feeling the symptoms such as lightheadedness, extreme tiredness, a weariness that is abnormal. In other words, you get tired just walking up the steps. You get tired after praising God. Woo! Woo! What's wrong with you? Did you just run a marathon, which is a little over 26 miles? No. Woo! I was singing with the praise team. Well, that means that your hemoglobin is low, and you need an infusion. Maybe you have to eat some broccoli or some nasty old slimy okra, and anything that can, any green leafy vegetables, cabbage, you know, the dark part of the cabbage, and all of those things that God put into the ground. My doctor told me my hemoglobin had dropped to 5, and I didn't know it. I was passing out in my house, and I thought it was just, you know, tiredness from pastoring, from working 8 days a week. And I would come up the steps and fall over the bed. And I would just fall there, and I'd be out for a little while, and I'd get back up and go on, the blood of Jesus, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. And God was telling me, you need to go get something done. You need to get something done. And I was like, no, I'm all right. You know, it's just tiredness. If I had some help, I'd be okay. You know, I was trying to put it on people, you know, and I just kept happening. Until one day God said, listen, I got to get this boy to the hospital. And he said, he ain't listening to me. And so I laid down, and the inside of my thighs cramped and became so hard that it was almost like this. And I couldn't walk. I crawled out of the bed, ran a tub full of hot water, as hot as I can stand it, climbed into the tub and soaked, and legs felt better. I said, see, whew, Praise God. I said, see, it's just tightness that's coming from dehydration. I'm trying to diagnose myself. You know, I don't have a medical degree. And I'm just, you know, just because I don't want to go and leave my church. So I'm laying there, and I get out of the tub, and it feels better, you know, and I'm like, hey, praise God. And I get back in bed, and 15 minutes later, boom, it happens again. This time I'm on the floor crawling, and I didn't call God because I was mad at him, and I figured you ought to heal me because I always blame God because he says he's sovereign. That means you're in control, so you could have fixed this. And I always justify it by saying I wouldn't have done it to my child. So, you know, so I go over and I'm crawling back into the bathtub and it happens again. And then I did the same thing. I got out the third time. I was sitting in a recliner and I put my feet at like a 37 degree angle. And I said, well, I'm not even going to lay down. Maybe if I lay down, I cramp up. And it happened again. I said, I'm going to the hospital and I'm going to get them to give me a muscle relaxer. So I went over to the hospital, and they checked me in, and they're like, what's wrong with you? And I said, my legs. I said, they're cramping up. I can hardly move them. They said, go sit over there. And I remembered the rule of the emergency department. Care is given to the bleeding first. So I was seriously thinking about cutting myself. Because I was in pain, like, you know, hey, this was getting out of hand. And so they finally came and wheeled me back. And I said, hey, doc, I'm telling the doctor, hey, doc, I need a muscle relaxer because my legs are very tight. Just give me the shot and let me get home. It is 4:45 a.m., right? And I'm like, oh, God, just give me the, my legs are tightening up. Just give me the muscle relax. He said, well, we're going to take blood work first. I said, what for? There's nothing wrong with my blood work. I said, I just need a muscle relax. They took the blood work. He came back in. He said, Mr. Lambert, we're going to admit you. I said, for what, cramps? He said, no, your hemoglobin is 5. He said, if it drops 3 more points, you die. I said, I'm going home. He said, no, you're not. I said, excuse me. I said, last time I looked, this is America. I'm going home. I took the IV out my arm and got my car and drove home. By the time I got home, my doctor called me. I don't even know how they got a hold of him. He calls and says, I heard what happened. Listen, I try to call you. I don't get a response for 3 days. And when I call you, I'm sick. You don't call me back for 3 days. They call you and, hey, if I were you. I said, all right. I packed an overnight bag and went back. They said, we got to transfuse you. I said, what are you going to transfuse me for? I said, hold it. I'm saved. You can't give me no sin of blood. Because I don't know where it came from. You put the blood of a crackhead in me, and that's it. I walk out the hospital going, hey, you got a dollar? Hey, you got a dollar? They wind up doing the transfusion and kept me in there, and then they come back and they do another count, and it had gone up to 7. And then the nurse comes in. I said, can I leave? She said, it's up to 7. She said, no, we got to do such and such. I said, absolutely not. I said, you don't know who I am. I don't like my bishop title, but... I said, you don't know who I am, do you? She's like, it don't matter who you are. When you're in that hospital, you belong to me. I thought if you weren't a daughter of Abraham, we would be having a problem. Because God said, I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And they kept me in there because I did not know the danger of a lowering of hemoglobin. The church dies when our hemoglobin doesn't rise to its position. We come in church sometimes and we say, oh, it just don't feel right. That's because all of you red blood cells are getting weaker because you don't get enough iron. And your iron is fasting and prayer. You are supposed to protect all of us. And God placed you in this church to protect us. Nobody knows who you are. You are like the CIA or the Secret Service. You come in here, you find something wrong, you get together with other red blood cells, and y'all sit in a concentrated area. Amen. all of a sudden power and mercy and grace is coming out of there because that's where all the hemoglobin is getting. And then they look at another area and say, oh, we got to go over here. Now, then we have white blood cells because it's the body. And the white blood cells are made by God to fight infection. And when you go for a blood test and they say your white blood count is going up, that usually means there's the presence of infection. The medical community has deceived you into thinking that penicillin cures you of the infection. It does not. It holds the infection in stasis until the white blood cell can build up enough strength to take care of it. That means that the move of God will not be pushed by the agenda of a human, but white blood cells will fast and pray and seek God until he comes in to clean his church. You take a lot of grief, but you get together and call on the name of the Lord. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, I will come and hear their prayer and forgive their sin and heal their land. You got to know who you are. Let me move on now. Oh, look at your neighbor on each side. Just look. Don't say a word. Notice in verse 22, he says, nay, much more those members of the body, listen carefully, which seem to be more feeble are necessary. That means the person that you don't think is essential is necessary.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. Order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Time to Go Into My Blessing, or the program number 06519A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org. Follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
Join your Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches family as we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ at BDIFC Holy Convocation 2019, Wednesday, August 21st through Friday, August 23rd and Sunday, August 25th. Each night we'll be blessed with a word from God brought forth by powerful ministers of the gospel. Special guest speakers for our Holy Convocation are Bishop David G. Evans of Bethany Baptist Church on Wednesday, August 21st, Bishop Paul S. Morton of Changing a Generation FGBC on Thursday, August 22nd, and Pastor Paul Shepherd of Destiny Christian Fellowship on Friday, August 23rd. Each service will be held at the Hilton Philadelphia City Ave at 7 p.m. nightly. The address is 4200 City Ave, Philadelphia, PA 19131. Sunday, August 25th will be our official night, in which the presiding bishop of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., will deliver an impactful message from the Lord. The service begins at 6 p.m. in the main sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Sheldon Avenue, Winco, Pennsylvania, 19095. It's the BDIFC Holy Convocation, Wednesday, August 21st through Friday, August 23rd, and Sunday, August 25th. Come out and join your church family for these empowering nights of praise, healing, and fellowship.